Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening. Today's message, don't be like the world. Peter lays the foundation in verses 1 through 12, doctrine, 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 doctrine. And in verse 13, it's a transition. He says, wherefore, based upon those truths, he tells them to get their thinking in shape. Gird up your mind, be sober and hope. And we've used the illustration of the wedding ring. The whole idea that I'm a married man should alter my thinking and my behavior. Christian, the whole idea that you're a Christian should alter your thinking and your behavior. Last week we focused on verse 14, the first three words, as obedient children. Peter obviously wanting us to take a look at children and learn lessons from those. Obedience. Get your thinking in shape based upon who you are and obey. And you look at the remainder of this book and he's going to tell them, well, who to obey? Well, I obey God. Well, God established human authority. And we're told to submit to the king, as supreme, or whoever the government authority is. Servants, obey your master, not only to the good and gentle, but to the froward. Wives, submit to your husband. He talks to the husbands. He talks to the elders of the church. Human authority is God's plan. When we obey human authority, we obey God. Peter will continue with this theme throughout his writing. What did we see also as we have the parallel of the children to a Christian? Proverbs 22 tells us foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Right? But what do we know from 1 Peter 1:14? Are you a believer? Don't fashion yourself like you used to be in your ignorance. In other words, foolishness is bound in a new Christian. Many times we don't see. Oh, wait, I had no clue that wasn't God-honoring. And we grow as a child grows and matures. And the foolishness is driven from the child. Christian, we've got a lot of growing as we recognize things in our life that are not God-honoring. And so it is that Peter is admonishing these people to obey authority. Not only good authority, but sometimes bad authority. Think about where he's writing to. He's writing to people that are scattered in the Roman Empire. Rome was not known for their godliness. There was persecution. They were living in the catacombs. So sometimes we're going to see poor leadership. He admits, servants, let me make it modern day, employees, sometimes you're going to have a froward boss. Submit. Wives, even when your husband is disobedient to the word, what do you think the word is? It's the Bible. Submit. And then, of course, we concluded, am I saying, therefore, the Bible teaches that we're to obey in sin? Am I to say we're never to leave a job? Well, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it says they were scattered. How did they get scattered? They left the persecution. But first and foremost, Peter says, stay and submit. With everything that's in you, stay and submit. But there did come a point that these believers had to scatter. And he never rebukes them and says, you need to go back. But first and foremost, Christians, our obligation is to stay. Obey. God will work. We can see times in the Old Testament when God took his people and put them under bondage, a pretty lousy leadership. And he had a purpose in it. I want to continue on with the back half of verse 14 today, but I want to read verses 13 through 16 so we keep it all in its context. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Today I want to focus on the back half of verse 14. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Get your doctrinal truth straight. Think straight, therefore. Obey authority. Don't live like the world and be holy. That's where this is going. And then he's going to get more specific throughout the rest of the text as he talks to specific groups as they deal with the trials and tribulations of this life. Christians bring into their Christian life old thinking. What has happened at salvation is we realize our need for a Savior. I cannot do it on my own. It's not of my works. It is only what the shed blood of Jesus Christ did. And that gets me to heaven. I trust that. I accept the free gift offered by God, paid for by His Son. His shed blood on that cross, we receive that. We're born again. Now we start the Christian growth process. And as we mature in the Lord, we start to realize things in our lives that were once according to our former lusts. Things that were so natural. He's saying, open your eyes as you mature in the Lord. Hey, wait a minute. I didn't realize that that was not God honoring. I didn't realize that God wasn't pleased with that. And we change as obedient children. And what does the parent try to do? A good parent will do what to their children? Point them in the way they should go. But what is bound in the heart of a child? Foolishness. He's going to want to default to rebellion, selfishness, temper tantrums. No, honey, say thank you. No, honey, share. Did you say thank you? And the child needs to be taught. Life doesn't revolve around you. Christian, the same principle applies to us when we come into the Christian life. There are things that we have to learn. And we must realize this, that our old thinking is not necessarily that great. Let us read Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Paul says something very similar here as he writes to the Christians in Rome. And be not conformed to this world. Compare that to Peter. Fashion yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Don't do that. Don't be like the world. Paul says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Change. The Christian life really is a life of change. When we come to Christ as our Savior, we trust Him apart from any of our works. That gets us to heaven. But now as we start to mature and grow, we've got to realize change. Don't fashion yourself. That means to conform, to be like in a mold. Don't do that. Don't let the world tell you how to behave. Get your thinking straight, remember? Doctrine, 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 doctrine through verses 1 through 12. Wherefore, build your thinking on that. Be obedient. Don't be like you used to be. We need to change. Paul called it being conformed to this world. Don't do that. Why would we want to be like the unsaved? Well, we were ignorant then. We thought that was fun. We thought that was okay. But you know what? That's the behavior of children of disobedience. We're called to obedience, not to be children of disobedience anymore. But now we're to obey. And we just saw what's coming in this letter. Obey the government authorities. But I don't. You think Rome was all that warm and wonderful? Peter says, obey. But my boss. Yes, Peter says, I know. Some are froward. Obey. But my husband doesn't obey the one. I know. Obey. If you only submit to perfect people, you'll never submit to anyone. You can't even obey yourself because none of us are perfect. So at what level of disobedience do we finally, well, I don't put up with any of this. Remember we used the illustration last week in the military? What do you say to the soldier that says, I only obey the general? I only obey God. We ought to obey God, not man. Okay, so we use that verse to trump all the other teachings in Scripture? There's a time and place for when we obey God, not man. I understand that. It's biblical. But we cannot use that to negate all of the passages here in Peter where we're supposed to submit and obey. Folks, it's natural for the unsaved to not obey. Christians ought to obey. We're going to see this throughout the coming months as we study 1 Peter. Obey. Yeah, but don't you understand? Have you forgotten God's in control? He is in control, even of awful authority. And He turns these things to good. Don't forget that. Why would we want to be like the unsaved who are disobedient? Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, Paul talking to the church at Ephesus and testifying the Lord that henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Is that really how we want to conduct our lives?
But the world says this is okay. And God says, okay, so the children of disobedience say that's okay. You're going to believe that? Honey, if everybody else jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff? If everybody else believes the world's flat, are you going to believe the world's flat? I hope not. Why in the name of common sense would a believer want to act like the unsaved? Fashion their life like that. And yet how many Christians do proclaim Christianity and yet pursue the world and the joys of the world? We are to be different. Christians, we ought to be something that the unsaved look at, maybe old friends look at us and they say, you're different. I hope they look at you and see truly something different. Let me read to you from the commentary of John Gill on this passage. He says, be not conformed to this world, for to be conformed or fashioned to the world is to be fashioned to the lusts of it. And to be fashioned to the lusts of it is to indulge, to make provision for them, to obey them, to live and walk in them, which should not be done in the children of God, and who profess themselves to be obedient ones to the gospel, which teaches us otherwise, and that because they are lusts, foolish, hurtful, and deceitful ones, ungodly ones, the lusts of the devil, as well as of the world, and of the flesh, and which war against the soul, and because they are former ones, which they served in a time of unregeneracy, and which are now convinced and ashamed of, therefore should no longer live in them. Their days gone by. Do we not look back to things as our childhood, and we go, did I really do that? Yeah. This is how we ought to look back at our unsaved days. Did I really do that? Yeah, don't do it anymore. We need to realize our thinking in those days was corrupt, ungodly, and we need to change our thinking and therefore change our behavior. Get this, it's not just change of behavior, because then Christianity is nothing more than outward compliance, and that's not to be. It must be a true change in the renewing of the mind. Take a look at this in Ephesians 4:22. Paul is basically saying the same things that Peter is in this matter of putting off the world. Look at it. Ephesians 4:22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. Put it off, the manner of life. Don't do that anymore. Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And 24, put on the new man. Change. But it's not outward compliance only. Have your thinking truly in line with what you're doing. Listen, if all church is a bunch of do's and don'ts, let me tell you what, it's a frustrating tradition, meaningless and empty. But when we tell and teach people the relationship with Jesus Christ, we've got something. I am convinced God gave us the husband and wife relationship to illustrate that truth. When I love my wife, I naturally change my schedule. I change everything to have a life with her. But you take the young lady out of the picture and you tell a young man to live like he's married but there's no wife. It would be foolishness. This is what happens when churches teaches the rules without the relationship. And the young man says, why am I doing this? That's the way we just do it around here. This is meaningless. But that's the way we do it. Put a young lady in the picture and it's all natural. Don't ever forget that God gave us that. We are truly to be conformed, changed, not like the world, but how? Like Christ. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, before this world was ever created, God knew you. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Before this world was founded, God knew you would trust Christ as your Savior. Based on foreknowledge, he said, I am now got a plan for you that you would be conformed to be like my Son Christ. Don't be conformed like the world, Christian. Be like Christ. Paul said it. Put off, renew your mind, and put on. What did Peter say? Let's do a quick comparison. Put off, Paul said. Peter said, don't fashion yourself. Stop that. Don't do that. Change your thinking, Paul said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What did Peter say? He said, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober in hope. And then Paul says, put on the new man. And in verse 15 of 1 Peter, Peter says, be holy. Put off, change your mind, put on. Not outward compliance only. According to the lusts, in your ignorance. Lusts. Desire, lust, a longing, especially for that which is forbidden. Oh, but I want that. Renew your mind. See it for what it is. It's not God-honoring. Did you know that they are lusts? They are going to truly be temptations. I remember the day God laid on my heart to get rid of all my rock music. You know what I did? I'll put it in the back of the closet. Now, as I had those bifold doors and I slid the door open, the door came off and got jammed. And to save my life, I could not unjam that thing. Not easily anyway. Obviously, I eventually got it. And I finally said, I was alone in my apartment in Chicago, and I said, yes, Lord. And I walked down to the dumpster and I heaved them in. Gone. Did you know that was very hard for me to do? I'm telling you the truth. There might be things in the Christian life that you're going to hear and you're going to be convicted of. And it's not going to be that easy. And you're going to say, you know what? That lust really pulls on me because I have liked this for years and years and years. And God says, get rid of it. It's a former lust. It's not honoring to me. Get it out of your life. It doesn't belong there. And there are going to be some real battles, some very real battles. But to please our Heavenly Father, we do these things. I'm telling you the truth, because sometimes you might go through a struggle. I want you to understand, too, that our flesh is saying yes, but our purpose in life has changed. Take a look at it in 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own. For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do you understand our whole purpose in life has changed? It's no longer to entertain me. It's to please my Heavenly Father and do what He wants. He owns me. I understand there's always been sin, but I'll tell you what. The availability through technology, I really think, has become a stumbling block to many Christians. We now have got music at our fingertips. Constant. Yes, you could always hum tunes. I understand that. But now, we're bombarded in grocery stores, in department stores, in malls, on the radio. We're bombarded by music. Ungodly music most of the time. We're bombarded by videos, TV programming, pornography on the internet. Advertising. Your life is not complete unless you have this. Lost it. You've got to have this. Do I really? But the world is constantly telling us you're not complete without this. Be careful of all of the things that assault us today. I want us also to diligently consider as we're thinking about giving up former lusts, things that we determined were so pleasurable and desirable. Be careful with entertainment. Let us read it in the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:4. Timothy, a young pastor, Paul is writing a letter to him. Timothy, there are traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We ought to love God more than we love our pleasure. Now, you know where I see that? When I preach against something specific and I have Christians defending, well, why can't I enjoy that? The whole idea that you are defending your pleasure rather than saying maybe I ought to submit to what the preacher said sends up a flare to me. Why? I'm not out to ruin people's fun. There's coming a day, and God is not going to stand there in heaven and go, oh, I'm so sorry. Folks, we ought to be seekers and lovers of God more than pleasure. Be very careful when you find yourself defending your pleasures. Am I saying you can't have pleasure? No. God wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. The problem is we have been so dirtied by the world, we think this is pleasure. God is saying, no, don't fashion yourself that way. Don't defend your joy. Look to me. Do you really believe me? And let me tell you this, you can't outgive God. He really does want us to have the better life. I want us to quickly take a look at five reasons why believers would cling to their old life rather than change to be God-honoring. I want us to think of five things real quick here. First reason that's going to be a stumbling block to a Christian why he won't change. He thinks he's right. Let's read it. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. First and foremost stumbling block, we've got to stop and say, no, wait a minute. Peter said, I've got to gird up my mind based upon doctrine. Because we all tend to think we're right. Just maybe I need to stop conforming my thinking to the way I grew up in the world, and I need to start to conform my thinking to the Bible and doctrine. All the ways of a man. Pastor Holler, why should I change? There's nothing wrong with it. Well, maybe there is something wrong with it. I don't have a need to change. I'm right. First reason, because we think we're right. How about the second reason why believers would not change? Well, ready for this one? Because Christianity at large does it. That's a sad truth in today's Christian world. But those Christians out there are all doing it. Yeah. Let's read it. Revelation 3:14. Just because the whole church is doing it, is it right? John is writing from the island of Patmos to seven churches in Asia Minor. This is the seventh and final one. I believe we've got several meanings here. I believe one of the meanings, though, is there are seven phases that the church age will go through. This is the seventh one. I believe we're in it. You study prophecy, you'll see it. And here's what he said the age is going to be like at the end of the church age. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. God knows the church. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. God is talking about a church. By definition, a church is a group of born-again people. I'm not saying these people aren't born again, but I'm saying this, God's not pleased with them. He literally says, I want to throw up. But they're all doing it. Yes, and God says, I want to throw up. Don't be like that. Because thou sayest, here's the church of Laodicea, oh, I am rich. But they're rich. You know what? God didn't deny they weren't rich. They did have a lot of money. I'm increased with goods. He doesn't deny they didn't have a lot of goods. And have need of nothing. That was their attitude. We are so spiritually mature. And knowest not, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Just because Laodicea did it, why should we? Christianity at large is doing this. Therefore, for you, Pastor Holler, to preach this stuff, I don't agree. Folks, let's hold it up against Scripture. God wants to throw up when he thinks about the church of the Laodiceans. In reality, they were spiritually bankrupt. They're saved. Otherwise, they wouldn't be a church. But they're not God-honoring. Third reason, why a believer would not change and cling to their old lifestyle. Because they've been deceived by the world. The last group was deceived by Christianity at large. This group is deceived by the world. Colossians 2:8. Beware, talking to Christians, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And we've swallowed the philosophy of the world. I mean, the world, I mean, don't you watch Discovery Channel and the Health Channel? They've now discovered this. Well, maybe they see something, but I'm not convinced that it's really biblical truth. Or truth at all. It could be philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and not after Christ. What is the basic problem with man? Sin. Don't let the world talk you out of that and give you an excuse. Well, therefore, it must be okay. No. Don't be spoiled through philosophy and vain deceit of the world. The problem with man is sin. The answer for man is spirituality. Don't let the world tell you, oh no, man is basically good. Folks, man is basically evil. We have fallen short of the glory of God. In the Garden of Eden, our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, was fractured. And we need to be born again. And through that Holy Spirit that indwells us, we have a relationship with God once again. Consider, too, so-called science. 1 Timothy 6:20. Oh, Timothy, young preacher, keep that which is committed to thy trust. What was committed to his trust? Of course, the Word of God, the ministry thereof. Avoid profane and vain babblings. Timothy, you're going to be presented with all sorts of babblings. Avoid it. Stay on the Scriptures. And opposition. People are going to oppose you of science, falsely so-called. It's not science, folks. Don't let the world give you an excuse for sin. I am not saying that there aren't real times for medical issues. For example, an Alzheimer's patient is not in their presence of mind. I understand that. But there's a big difference between an Alzheimer's patient and somebody being told by a psychiatrist, well, the reason why you do this is because I have a problem with that so-called science. Science, knowing, by implication, knowledge, we must base our thinking upon the Word of God and not on science so-called. It's a deception, and be very, very careful. The fourth reason why the believer would not change but cling to his old habits, we're not under the law. Don't you love that one? We're not under the law. Yeah, I know. When I hear somebody say that, it tells me that they don't understand truly the purpose of the dispensations. They're focusing on a minor part. It's true that God did, under the law, move Moses, and he got the Ten Commandments literally chiseled in stone along with all of the law up on Mount Sinai. I understand that. But that's only one of seven dispensations. In each of the dispensations, the point has always been man is to be holy. That has never gone away. The method may have changed, but the goal did not. God's plan was always to reach mankind, to be holy and have a relationship with him. And now I've just given a fifth category, miscellaneous excuses. Ready? God made me this way. Well, again, that tells me the incredible lack of spiritual understanding. Man is part of a fallen race, and God has sent his son to die, that we could reestablish that relationship with him and become holy. How about this one? God loves me just like I am. Well, that's true. God does love you just as you are, and he wants you to be holy. Now change. And how about this one? You're not my judge. Well, I'm not your judge like God Almighty is your judge, but let's remember this, 1 Thessalonians 5:12. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish. Warn you about certain behaviors. Warn you, admonish you. No, I may not be your judge like God is, but God said we're to admonish one another. And I have a God-given responsibility to admonish about certain behavior. God has commanded us to not be like this world. Don't fashion like the world. You get it? That's not a suggestion. It's a command. He didn't say, I'd like to suggest you do this. God wants us holy. He doesn't want us to be like the world. And as you think about this, God lays on your heart something that you should change. Do it. Read Proverbs 16:3. Don't wait until you feel like changing. Because I'll tell you what, you will never feel like it. Commit thy works unto the Lord. Start doing it, and then your thoughts will be established. Do it! How do you do it? I just don't feel like changing. Start. And your thinking starts to follow. Commit thy works unto the Lord. The thoughts will be established. Don't wait for your thinking to change. Start doing it. Ask God to be with you and help you and establish your thinking. He will answer that prayer. Again, this morning we have talked to believers. I want to just go over right now, make sure everyone understands real quick how to go to heaven. Let this hand represent every person, you, me, everybody. Let this billfold represent sin. God says, I love you, I hate the sin. If we die with this on us, we're going to spend an eternity in hell. Separated from God, we will not enter God's eternal heaven. God says, though, I love you. I hate the sin. I love the sinner. I hate the sin. And there's nothing that we can do in our strength to get rid of it. We can walk an aisle, raise a hand, join a church. We can join every church in town. We can give money. None of these things will get you to heaven. It's when you realize I have no ability at all within me to get rid of that sin. I need help. God sent his son. Let this hand represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ hung on that cross. He took your sin and my sin. He died 3 days in that tomb, and he rose again. How do you go to heaven? When you realize it's not me. I put my faith totally in Jesus Christ. Not my good works plus Jesus. Jesus only. For God so loved the world, but he hated the sin, that he gave his only begotten Son to hang on that cross and pay for the sin debt of the world, that whosoever believe, yes, that's what gets me to heaven. I believe that. That and only that. That gets me to heaven. Should not perish, but have everlasting life.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.